Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
It's almost spring.
Yes.
Well, it's thinking.
It's loading.
You know what? Yeah. The little spinning beach ball of death is happening. I guess every time we get on air, we're talking about something to do with the weather.
Yes.
It's just Canada. It's what we do.
But it's a national hobby.
Yeah. But especially now we're seeking the green.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're so done with the gray, the white and the brown.
The most exciting thing about spring.
Yeah.
Which is also today's topic.
Color.
Color.
Yes.
Right? We're looking for green and we're looking for green shoots and green lawns.
Nourishment. And, sunlight.
Yellow sun and blue sky and
I just want
lilacs and daffodil yellow and... It's true.
So today's topic is not just about color, but about color trends.
Yes.
How and that is a different story than just color.
For sure. How do we do that?
Yeah.
How does a trend? If I was a color, how would I become trendy, Tracy?
How would that work?
Is it the parties I go to or the people I hang out with?
Oh, it's totally your vibe that you give off. Yeah. Well, this is your field because as a designer, you're often... tempted to follow trends, but you're always working with color. You have to think about what color means.
Yeah, no, you absolutely have to follow market trends.
So,
And trendy's not a bad thing.
No,
trendy's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's what sort of some of the discussion is about color trends is when people jump on board quickly, does that mean they're just going with the pack? Mm-hmm. Does it mean they're not doing their own thing? But really, if you don't, you know, kind of jump on trend, then you might miss out on getting your product out into a wider audience.
Well, you have to recognize the pattern. I mean, obviously it has to be authentic.
Yeah. But
I don't suggest repainting your living room every year because there's a new color.
Yeah.
But there are no new colors. We should say that outright.
Yeah.
No such thing as a new color.
No.
They're all there. We just don't know.
They exist.
We just don't. And we'll never ever see them all.
And your living room might already be the color and has been for 10 years that will all of a sudden be the color of the year in 2020.
That's right. There's new names for colors, but those colors come from nature and they've all been, there's no such thing as a new color.
You mean Pantone didn't invent
colors? I know. Actually, Pantone is such an interesting story.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, from what I know, so this is a guy who worked in the biz, right? And what happens is people... You know how irritated people get when it's not quite the color? Like, no, that is not British Racing Green. And that is not Candy Apple Red.
Right.
Right? So there are all these disputes about, you know, what is teal? What is periwinkle? What is...
Yeah.
So he came up with a system because every color is made up of four other colors.
Yeah.
Which are
C-M-Y-K.
Pure. C-M-Y-K. Yeah. C-M-Y-K. Cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. Mm-hmm. Every single color in the universe is one magic formula. So this fellow, now this giant company, you know, it's like the genetic code for color. And he found it and he published it and he sold it. And now everything is CMYK.
Yeah.
Printer ink, wallpaper, paint colors, house paint, anything you can think of, fabric. It's all based on that formula.
Yeah. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it is just like the genetic code.
Yeah. So next time you see a paint swatch at the hardware store, I mean, there's some wicked science behind that. And then, of course, they give them, you know, lovely names like Ocean Mist.
Yeah.
Scent, you know, or.
I love all the ones for white.
Yeah.
Like linen.
Linen.
French Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Just all white. White.
I would like
white.
To name my paint after food. Oh. Brie, rind, white. Right?
Yeah. This is your retirement
Mushy
job,
pea
right?
Green.
Is your your retirement job is going to be naming colors, right?
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
That would be such a dream.
Okay, well.
Anyway, it's not just about pretty names and pretty colors. It's about the code behind color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pantone is now.
Yeah, now it's short. It's called the Pantone Matching System. So,
right. And how many colors
are
in?
We call it PMS.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the other
PMS.
Exactly. I don't know if you can say how many colors there are.
Yeah.
I think it depends
on... In the Pantone system, don't they have a specific number in their matching system?
I don't...
Okay, well, I do know how many...
It's just because the combinations and permutations are infinite.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right?
True.
There's four variables up to 100 each.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone out there who's quick on the stats could probably figure out it's multi-million,
yeah,
millions of potential.
Yeah. So they,
but they do have standard.
They have a couple of, yeah, because one is textiles.
Like this is Pantone red and this is Pantone blue.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah, for sure.
But there's also, because only certain colors can be achieved in textiles, in,
yes,
dyes.
Yes.
That's the other thing too.
Right.
Something can exist in pigment and in nature that may not be able to exist as a dye,
no,
and combined with a fabric material,
no, because
to create a certain color.
Yeah, whatever that substrate is, whether it's paper or fabric or wallpaper or,
yeah,
rug or,
right,
whatever, you know, there's an absorption rate.
Yeah.
And I mean, so ultimately, and the weird thing about color is it doesn't really exist. I mean, it's just the refraction of,
you're
light.
You're messing with me now.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
When you really think about
it's
it?
It's just our perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's our brain taking pieces of light and making a color.
Yes.
Isn't that bizarre?
It's so bizarre. It's like, my mind is blown.
Yes.
That's why you can't see what people are wearing in the dark. Because there is no color at night.
Yeah.
So is there color or is there just the, not color because you can't see it?
I know. This is like the if a tree falls in the forest,
totally,
thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's true that if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, it does not make a sound.
No.
Because the only reason it makes a sound is because the vibrations enter into our ears,
yes,
and our brain perceives it as sound.
Yeah. So it's the receptor. If there's no receptor.
Yeah.
It, right? There is no sound.
Then it's only vibration.
But if there's no receptor, there is no color.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's only our eyes that make the,
yes,
color. So if I close my eyes,
bum, bum,
you're
bum,
not wearing any,
yeah,
colors.
And so I often think we all see color differently. Like what I think is red,
yeah,
and you think is red, could be totally different.
And we don't even know. We'll
we don't
never
even
know
it.
Because
we,
I've been told that's red. You've been told that's red.
Yeah.
We're happy with being,
yeah,
understanding red.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually mean,
yeah,
it's we're seeing the same.
But we couldn't
color.
Take our eyeballs out of each other's heads and try it on the other,
yeah, wouldn't
person.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's, yeah, that, okay, science.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? And then there's screen color, which is RGB.
Yeah.
A combination of red, green, blue, but that's a whole different
It kind
show.
Of is. And in fact, you, well, it's
so
a whole different
people
topic.
Get frustrated. They're like, but it was so pretty on the screen.
Exactly.
And I printed it out and it doesn't look anything like it. And I'm like, because it's RGB.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, what's RGB? Then I have to explain the whole thing. So
yeah. And when light is coming from a surface as opposed to absorbing,
mm-hmm,
a surface absorbing light, mm-hmm, it's a different thing.
Yeah. Light emitting and light absorbing.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Exactly. So you can't expect it to print out the same as you see it on your computer. Okay.
Nope.
So...
And while we're at it, just one more thing about the receptors of the color. You know, color is, again, not just pretty. It's actually a nature's cue to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm,
orange is vitamin C.
Yeah.
Right? And green is what?
Chlorophyll.
I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And blue,
nutrition,
is antioxidants. And, right?
Yeah.
And so... These are, this, nature's a very powerful designer.
Mm-hmm.
Brown is not a, you know.
Brown,
is,
not so much.
Is there for a reason.
Nature didn't actually invent chocolate.
Yeah.
Just invented the cocoa bean.
Yeah.
But we invented chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nourishing, the only nourishing part about brown.
Of it, yeah. And coffee.
Oh my gosh,
but coffee
and
beans
coffee.
Don't start that brown.
No, they're, no, kind of white, sort,
mm-hmm,
of creamy color.
Mm-hmm. And
we
red,
roast them.
But they're red.
Oh, right, they're
the,
actually red.
The cherries are red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the inside is...
Yes.
And then they're dried in the,
yeah,
sun. They become kind of creamy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get roasted.
Yeah.
Then they're brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Coffee's good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, those are the two most nutritious things on the planet, coffee and chocolate.
Yes.
So what the heck? What are we talking
and
about?
Kale.
And kale. Kale, but kale's green. Doesn't
and
count.
And blueberries. I could do without the kale. I don't think I could do without orange or blue. I like the orange food and the blue
We
food.
Know you like orange.
Yeah.
Because everybody,
I like the food.
Everybody in Radioland doesn't recognize how much Louise loves orange,
yeah,
but Louise loves orange.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Both the fruit and
if
the
you want to understand more about how color,
yes,
works
how
inside
color
of our
works.
Brains...
Yeah, Google
refer
that.
Refer to our podcast on color.
Yes.
That we did like 2 or 3 years ago.
I think 3 years ago.
I think that was a fabulous,
yes,
show. That was,
yeah,
like my favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my kids even said it was their favorite,
yeah,
show.
So we thought we'd do it again.
Yeah.
And then did we say that white is the combination of all colors, and black is the absence. We did say that.
Yeah.
Okay, because you got to get those kind of basic assumptions out of the way before
You get the science down so that you understand before we actually start talking about trends.
Yes.
Okay, trends. I have to start this conversation with the fact of the color of the year that is selected by the secret society of which Pantone has the majority of, you know, officials as part of, that is selected every year, that everybody waits with bated breath to find out what it
is. Envelope, please.
Yeah. Oh, this is like, you're absolutely right about the envelope. It is so high secret or top secret. They have their meetings. You want to hear how this all happens? It's kind of cool. So this particular group gets together twice a year in Europe, and they meet in a white room, and their participants bring all of their color swatches.
Or just what kind of light? Because
has to be full spectrum light and white walls. And I wonder what kind of white is the thing.
And what kind of lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all of those things matter.
They do. Yeah. But they must have to take them out into different places and go outside, because everything looks different outside. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they all come with their PowerPoints and all their test cards and everything. And they basically like pitch their colors.
It's a color showdown.
It is.
Yeah.
And so they use everything from politics and pop culture to sports, technology, social issues even, to influence their, their, you know, contributions and why they want to see certain colors. And so once they select down, like they actually bring, I think it's 64 colors, 16, they group them into 16 colors, you know, per group. And then they get down to, about 12, I think it was 10 or 12, that are going to be the trend colors.
The finalists, those are the trends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's one color that is selected as color.
Is it like voting for the Pope? Everyone has to agree?
I wonder.
The white smoke comes out of the chimney.
I love to see that. And then one color
or the
is
color
chosen.
The
color of the smoke. Would have to come that would be up. So good. Yeah. But that would look different outside than it would.
It's true.
Anyway.
It's true. Plus, I should make fun. I'm sorry.
It's chosen as the color of the year. So do you want to know what the 2018 color of the year is?
Do I? Do I? Do we have time?
Do we have time? Should we wait?
We should roll. Drum roll, please.
No, we got time.
We got time?
Give me the drum roll. It is ultraviolet.
Ta-da.
Not ultraviolet.
No.
Ultraviolet.
Two words.
With a space.
Yes.
So, because ultraviolet is invisible.
Yeah. But think about it. That's the color, the light that makes your teeth look funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And your white shirt looks super white.
Right.
Yeah.
So ultraviolet as a color is actually invisible. But ultra space violet is the name that Pantone has given this color of the year. So, of course, it is a bold and dramatic and provocative purple.
Violet.
Yeah. But
purple.
It's a purpley color, right? Mm-hmm. And so how they kind of have pitched this, and this is kind of interesting, like how they've picked the last few years. Now I'm feeling like we're getting close to time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to power through. So, because they do think about social issues when they think about this, it's kind of what's going on in the world, what's going on in the universe, when they really do come down to the color of the year. So maybe I will wait until after the break, because there's actually
the very powerful messaging.
They are
it.
Like the green was last year's color of the year, and it was really all about the green environmental, like, come on, we have to work together to make this
the Paris
climate change.
Accord,
exactly. Yeah. So there was a whole lot of things that influenced the green. So I'll tell you about what influenced the purple, the ultraviolet.
The 2018 color.
Yeah. So,
which is ultra space violet.
Right.
And like super violet or extreme violet or powerful violet.
Imagine.
Not UV.
Not UV light. Imagine sort of that vivid purple, zippy, violety. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
It happens to be Pantone 18-3838.
Yes.
So it is an existing color. It's not like they invented a color.
Nope.
But it is, it's all about kind of that space, galaxy, big, wide open, you know, anything is possible kind of a feel. And it's kind of points us towards the future. It's about ingenuity
and inclusion.
Yeah.
Right. Purple's very inclusive.
Yeah. It's about visionary thinking.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
Social sort of political climate influenced this. Red is linked with Republicans, mm-hmm. blue with Democrats. Mm-hmm. So,
and what happens when you match red and blue?
You get purple.
Violet, yes.
So it's like the ultimate coming together. Mm-hmm. Let's come together. Let's talk to each other. Let's stop this polarization.
Yeah, be bigger than we are.
Yeah.
Be bigger than red and bigger than blue. Be purple.
Yes. Right? Be purple.
Be purple.
Oh, that's our new motto of the year. And then here's something weird. They actually reference Southern California's fire forecast.
Really? Because,
yeah. So for instance, some guy on the news, California, says the forecast for Thursday is purple.
Oh, yeah. Because that's high alert?
Yeah. It's extreme, the stream rating of fire. So the only color worse than red on the scale of fire risk is purple.
Holy moly.
And so they've never had to use purple before, and now they're using purple.
Purple.
Yeah.
I know after 9/11, when they went to orange alert, orange was the highest alert.
Yeah.
For whatever terrorist threats. I was so mad. Who said you could pick orange?
Yeah, they weren't allowed to use orange
pick
without consulting
color.
You.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something else you should know about purple. So it also happens to be associated with a certain number of celebrities, especially in the music industry. Mm-hmm. David Bowie, Jimi Hendrix, and Prince.
Prince.
And so it just so happens Pantone gave, like actually named a color after Prince.
After him.
Gave him a purple.
Wow.
In their swatch. So a lot of their colors just have numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually that many in the big scheme of things have names, but they named a purple for Prince.
Wow.
It's called Love Symbol Number 2.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so if you remember what Love Symbol Number 2 is, it's the copyrighted icon that he gave himself as a name when he
used to be
dropped Prince.
The artist formerly known as
That's
Prince.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, then he came back and became Prince again, which is fine
mm-hmm.
because it was very hard to pronounce the other. And the whole purple kind of thing came from his signature Yamaha piano. That's how the whole purple, like, sort of.
His piano was purple?
Yeah.
Purple piano.
Yeah.
Say that 20 times. Purple piano.
Yeah. And then it became.
No kidding. I didn't
kind
know
of
that.
His. Just
thing.
His thing. Yeah. And
it
purple
had his
everything
color.
And purple clothing and his movie, Purple Rain.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Just, and we all kind of, I feel like we all kind of have a color about us.
Yeah.
Right? Remember it was important to get your colors done?
Yes.
Yeah.
And weird. You were like a spring or a summer.
Or winter.
Yeah. It was a little bit weird, actually.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
Yeah. Because I
like,
just,
oh my God, you shouldn't be wearing taupe. You're totally a winter. What does that even mean? But okay.
Taupe is so out.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Taupe is passé.
Yeah. Do you want to see? Do you want to know all the colors that are in this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, I do.
Let's talk about that. So
okay.
Ultraviolet is the color of the year, but other colors that are trending this year are sage,
mm-hmm.
and which is like a very soft gray-green color.
Mm-hmm.
And sage is considered the new neutral.
Also a really yummy spice. Herb.
Yes.
Herb, not a spice.
Yeah. It is. That's
herbs
true.
Are plants. Spices are seeds. Yeah? Like basil is an
sure.
herb, but cardamom
I don't
is
know that for
seed.
Sure, but that sounds right.
Okay, anyway, it's a yummy, it's really good on pizza, just saying.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever put sage
yeah,
on pizza.
No.
What?
And spaghetti sauce, just saying.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Something to try. So the grayish green hue is, you know, it's what gives it the neutral feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually have a whole interior of a house painted this sage green.
And it's kind
and
of
it
a
feels
taupe
neutral.
With,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like taupe with green in it.
Yeah.
But don't use taupe.
Okay.
Because taupe is so out.
Well, there's me repainting my kitchen.
Marigold is
oh,
a trending
lovely.
Color. Yes.
Because it was kind of a 70s thing.
Yeah, totally.
I remember goldenrod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's coming back and it is a trend, especially in the kitchen. And it definitely gives a space that
ooh.
Retro 70s vibe.
Yes.
So that's kind of, you know, like in the era of mend and make do and, you know, big crazy kitchen bowls.
Marigold.
And,
walls,
wallpaper, stuff like
big
that.
Big geometric shapes. We totally had that.
Yeah.
And avocado appliances.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
They'll be back. I'm sure they'll be
what
back.
Did you say about avocado before? That
well,
was so funny.
It's just, I knew avocado as the color of an appliance before I knew it as an actual food group, right? Like, I don't think I ate avocados till I moved to the coast.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you, you can't find avocados in 19... early 1980s North Bay, but you could certainly find your share of avocado-colored appliances.
So you think more people had avocado appliances than had ever eaten an avocado?
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I would bet money on it.
Well, that's funny. Yeah. Okay, caliente.
Ooh, that sounds red. I know. And sexy.
It's very red, yeah. And it's very sexy. It's passionate, and it makes people feel special, like the red carpet treatment.
Lovely.
Yeah. So I kind of think that red carpet thing probably comes from, you know, our Hollywood celebrity addiction. We do have a little bit of a problem worshiping celebrities. Okay. Also in the violet realm is dark plum. So this is also a very dramatic purple, not quite as vibrant as the ultraviolet, but you'll see it in more like kitchen cabinets.
Like deeper.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
A deeper shade. It's more of a statement.
Kitchen cabinets? Purple?
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. I think I might want to repaint my kitchen now too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oceanside. Oceanside is, it's kind of a deeper bluey ocean color. So imagine a, you know, like a navy, but bring it back up a bit into the teal.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's Oceanside. And so it's a cozy feeling, kind of like the Oceanside cottage.
Yes.
So it's connecting to people's sense of adventure, their sense of getting away from it all, getting out of the city. So people are doing, you know, their foyers and their, you know, like small rooms with it, just to kind of get that feeling like,
oh my gosh. The cottage chic, kind of a little bit of barn board and
A little bit of wanderlust.
Yes,
your own home.
Yes, yes. Lovely.
Yeah. So ready for this one?
Okay.
Blush.
Blush.
Yes.
So what is that? Like blush, like makeup?
It's like the peach salmon hybrid that doesn't. Like it just keeps popping up every few years and it seems like it's so out. But then if you see something.
But does maybe it complements sage and ocean.
It may.
Side or breeze or.
Well, it's kind of interesting because remember 2 years ago, the color of the year was actually this rose quartz and a soft baby blue, which kind of and then mixed together to make that soft purpley color. Sort of to signify gender fluidity, right? It was a real nod to that sort of understanding of gender fluidity.
And
so that pinky sort of thing, a lot of people are like, ah, pink. But it's pink is never going away.
No, pink is never going away. Neon pink could take a break for a while, but it'll probably be back.
Yeah, probably. And blush is dubbed the millennial pink.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
We have to remember, so there's a whole new generation of people.
We had our pink, now they get their pink. Okay,
we had neon pink.
We did.
That was our pink.
And neon green and neon orange.
Did we ever do neon? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And onesies and K-way jackets. And we had lots of awful things.
But we did.
But they were ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
Salsa dancing.
Mm.
So you can imagine what that is, right?
That's a name of a paint color or a color?
A name of a color. Salsa dancing.
Not salsa dancing.
Salsa as in the red tomato-based thing.
Okay.
Okay. So it's actually kind of a autumn-y burnt orange red color.
Lovely.
And so it was named for autumn last year. Autumn maple was named the color of the season. Hmm. So this is a bit, it's pretty much the same color.
So like, but darker than pumpkin spice.
Darker than that sort of burnt orange spice color. A little deeper, but not red.
Right.
Not quite red.
Okay.
Also people doing their kitchens in this because it's spicy, right?
Oh, okay. So it would stimulate your appetite.
Yeah.
Probably not the best color if you're trying.
Maybe I don't want to have that.
You don't want me. I don't know.
I'm going with the dark
plum. I'm not sure I want that in my.
Okay. Bottle green.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Bottle green. Everyone, don't you just get a pop visual when you
totally
say that? Yeah.
We get some of that in the shoe swap because we have the shards of glass and stuff that you find in the lake based, like either it's a CP hotel or something like that. And it's been worn from years of being tossed around in the sand, right? So you sometimes get those little pieces of glue or green glass.
Yeah.
And you know exactly what color we're talking about. So So bottle green has that beautiful history of sort of times past and pardon me. And a lot of people are using it in tile things. And it's kind of a, like the bottle green sample is actually just a little bit more acidic than what I sort of imagine. I imagine it being a bit softer, but I think there's a whole range that's coming in and out. And you can, of course, change your value if you want. To match what you
100% or
Black chiffon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So think the dark gray wall in the gallery.
Yes.
That is like the black chiffon.
Black chiffon.
Because it's almost black, but it's still
not
gray.
Quite black.
It still reflects light.
So it's like 68 or 70% black.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of people are using it for cabinet things.
Yeah, right? Gunmetal gray.
Yeah.
But a bit darker than gunmetal gray?
I think so, yeah. Because it is still a black. Mm-hmm. It's just there's just more light bouncing
right,
off of it.
Right. And it anchors things, right?
Yeah.
So you can, like if you're designing cabinets, you can make your bottom cabinets darker and your top cabinets lighter, and it makes your room.
And then it's not
bigger,
but it's not like you're doing black, like black.
No, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's still gray.
And it seems to.
But it's black.
Center the room, but also give it some light.
Yeah. Right? And it gives us a sense of earthiness too, right? Like the soil, you know, like deep down and colors of rock and stuff like that.
And it really does impact how you feel in a space.
Yeah. But you know what it really does is it changes the way lights work in your space. And the light will become the feature. Your light fixtures become the feature because it's not just about the color bouncing off the walls. It's about what does your light look like? Because the color's not bouncing off the walls necessarily.
Yeah.
And also things look great against it. Yes. As we know in the art gallery, art looks awesome on that. So, yeah. Okay. How are we doing for time? Because I want to talk about what's out.
What's out?
What's out? So one that was out was called Greenery.
Okay.
And it's
that was from last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
It was
too acidy. Okay.
So one of the 2017 picks of that Pantone
already,
picked.
Well, that was
already out. Because it was too bold.
Okay.
Too acidic.
Okay.
So this acidic apple green color was considered sophisticated, but it just was a real challenge to work with for people in clothing, for people in house design. It just was like,
You might get away with like a lampshade or a cushion, but it wasn't going to be a room.
No, yeah, no, for sure. Also out, mushroom.
Mushroom.
Yeah.
Which is taupe.
Yeah. It's beige.
It's boring.
Beige is boring. So it was supposed to have medicinal calming qualities, but it turned out it was just...
Yeah, sometimes mushrooms have those qualities.
But it turns out that people actually want a little bit of color in their neutral, right? Also out, cloudberry. Cloudberry was a light hue of purple, kind of a purpley pink, and it just wasn't bold.
Strong enough.
Yeah. It just looked washed out. Yeah. So it's out. Bye-bye, cloudberry.
Bye-bye, cloudberry. Thank you for all you did.
You tried.
True. Yeah, look
you
at tried. That. You're right. That greenery is a bit much.
Yeah.
Or seems a bit much now. Although a year ago, it was top bananas.
It was trend. People were like, let's do it. Yeah. And then,
I would do a cushion.
Yeah.
Or two.
I could do a cushion on greenery. Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe a little bit of a poster.
Oh, actually, totally. I could do that with my green neutral because I've got a sage wall too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sage is the new neutral.
Yeah. It's true. Every spring we get this sense of renewal.
Yeah.
When do they do this? January or?
I think it must be like February, August kind of a time frame. Yeah.
Ugh. Trace is very excited to tell you.
I am excited.
About her exciting Google find.
Okay. This all started because
I'm excited to hear it. I haven't heard this. This is all new to me too. So
well, I actually,
let's listen in.
See, this is what happens when we have teenage girls.
Okay.
They know stuff. They know stuff about what's happening online.
Yes.
Their online awareness is too much sometimes. However,
it's ultra aware.
Yeah. I learned stuff. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is one day my daughter said, I'm so mad at Anish Kapoor for buying Vanta Black. And I'm like,
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay, number one, who is Anish Kapoor? And it turns out he's a British artist.
Okay.
Very, very famous.
Yes.
Don't know why I didn't hear of him before this, but hugely famous.
Okay.
Does a lot of work with chromatics and color and not necessarily like vibrant color, but just the lack of color. And just plays with reflection. And you know the bean? There's a big reflective bean?
Yes. Yeah, where you're,
bean
sorry.
In Chicago or something?
No, where you're, so yes, it's in the middle of a public square. It's public art and it's kind of like that circus look. When you go up close, you see yourself in different
shapes.
That's
Anish Kapoor.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Sure, I knew who he was.
Yeah. I guess the name just didn't stick, right? So apparently, okay, so now I'm going to go back a little bit.
Okay.
So Vanta Black was invented by a group of scientists.
Okay.
And they invented it for use in space telescopes. And it really was created with nanotubes that stick straight up, lined up together, that absorb light, and then the light bounces around inside all these tubes and basically doesn't come back out.
Oh.
It's converted instead into heat. So a surface like this would have to be dealt with heat-wise, right? You'd have to reduce the heat somehow. But it made it the blackest black.
Oh.
Because with no light coming off of it...
You can do your telescope job better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... And it's like, and it's so freaky to look at.
So it's almost like light destroying black, not even light emitting, light absorbing.
There's, it's almost like this particular Vanta black destroys light.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's like the Bugs Bunny hole, you know, when he throws it down and somebody falls into it.
Yes.
It looks like that. It's like the black hole in the universe. It's like a void. So guess what artist would be attracted to that black?
Yeah, somebody like...
Anish Kapoor. Yeah. So apparently a whole bunch of artists contacted the company that invented the Vanta Black and started talking to them about how do we make this commercially available. And of course, the Surrey Systems said, well, it's not even commercially viable. Like, it's like the heat problem alone is a biggest, it's made for telescopes.
Things are going to start
go away.
Yeah, exactly.
So instead.
Spontaneously combusting.
Yeah. So they kept working and they actually created a different version of this where the little neurotubes weren't all lined up perfectly, but were kind of all over the place. But it did the same thing, except instead of reflecting 0.0003% of all light, it reflected like 0.06 or something of light. So it wasn't as black as
Vanta black light.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So they invented that. It was better for heat. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they could make it commercially available. So then Anish Kapoor was like, I want to own the ability to make that, make that particular kind of pigment black, or that black. And so they basically worked with him and he bought exclusive rights to do that.
Nobody should own a color.
Isn't that interesting you say that?
Yeah.
The whole internet exploded as soon as they found out that he basically owned Vanta Black. Everybody was like, what? This cannot be. Technology has given us this incredible thing and one guy gets to use it? That's not fair. So there's a guy, Stuart Semple, who has an online... he's an artist in Britain as well, but he also has, he makes pigments. He makes his own paint.
Yes.
Makes pigments.
Which all artists used to have to do.
Yeah.
I know. FYI. It was
a thing.
Yeah. There was no open store in the Middle Ages.
No.
The Renaissance.
Paint didn't even come in a tube until like just, you know, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, but, so Stuart Semple, his mom actually told him about, hey, this is Vanta Black, the scientist. And Stuart's like, cool, I want to do that because he, you know, works in large format. He works digitally. It would be super fun to try this. So he wanted to try it. And of course, he could not. He was told, no, I'm sorry, you can't have anything to do with this. So then Stuart Semple was giving a talk at the Denver Art Museum and someone said, Stuart, what's your favorite color? And he said, Vanta Black, but I'm not allowed to use it. And that started this whole thing where everybody was supporting Stuart Semple and saying, let Stuart use the black. And they're totally dissing Anish Kapoor. And it was this sort of horrifical or, you know, online battle going on between these two British artists. So Semple...
But technically black is not even a color.
I know.
Yeah.
But Semple was just like, he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And so he...
I wouldn't let it go either.
So he, in response, he invented a new pink.
Okay.
So he called it, well, it's called Pinkest Pink.
Okay.
And it's an ultra fluorescent-y pink.
Hmm.
And he sold the pink pigment online in his store. But he added to the product page, this, you have to confirm that you are not Anish Kapoor.
Okay.
He made it illegal for Anish Kapoor to purchase the Pinkest
Pink. I thought he was going to call it not Anish Kapoor Pink.
So he said... Here's the warning. It says, by adding this product to your cart, you confirm that you are not Anish Kapoor. You are in no way affiliated to Anish Kapoor. You are not purchasing this item on behalf of Anish Kapoor or an associate of Anish Kapoor. To the best of your knowledge, information, and belief, this paint will not make its way into the hands of Anish Kapoor.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And he put a hashtag on this, share the black.
Share the black.
Yeah. So that was it. So he's making a point.
That I think I've seen, share the black.
So he was just making a point about this, right? And of course, it's like performance art, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So guess what? Just not that long later, Anish Kapoor, who has an Instagram account. Okay. And so he has like,
My palms are getting sweaty.
I know. Okay. 40,000 followers on Instagram. He doesn't follow anybody.
No, of course not.
He doesn't respond to anybody.
No.
But every once in a while he posts this thing on Instagram. So an Instagram photo from Anish Kapoor's account showed up with a middle finger that having been dipped in the pinkest pink, covered in this pinkest pink pigment.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the comments. So now, I mean, it's just gotten...
I wonder if it's all... It's theater more than...
It feels like they could be frenemies and making this all happen, right? Okay, so...
Let's do that. Let's stage a scandal.
Yeah. So that just sent Semple and all of his people off the deep end. So Semple decided he was going to up the ante. He was going to make his own version of Vanta Black.
Okay.
So he actually sent 1,000 of his blackest black sample pigments to all the people, all of his biggest sort of people who are communicating on Share the Black hashtag, and sent him the finely ground carbon and everything that he was working on, said, help me make this the blackest black possible. So all these people contributed. It was the most gigantic collaborative project to make a new...
Crowdsourced color.
Yeah. So in early last year, 2017, he brought out what he calls an okay black.
An okay black.
he still wanted it to be blacker. So they got a hold of this super base stuff, and this was somebody in the 1,000 people or so that were contributing. So because the problem with a base is that a base itself, to be able to paint something on, has light emitting qualities. Right?
Yes.
So you can't just use this tube, this neurotube thing that the space company or the other company used by itself, if you wanted to actually apply it to something.
Yes.
So that was the problem. So this super base stuff was the stuff that would hold the pigment together. And so now they've released a pigment called Black 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, that's where we are in the story.
Wow. And how long has this been going on? Years?
No, just months? Like about a year and a half or so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Hardly any time. This is just so new. And the technology is so new.
Yes.
And the Surrey systems that invented Vanta Black are working again on another version that's even more, you know, available. And so maybe Anish Kapoor will not own that version.
Right.
And so who knows what might...
It's a market now.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you gotta Google this and look at the images. It is freaky to look at. It actually apparently scares people when they look at something.
Because it's so black.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, there you go. If you, and what's crazy.
Yeah, because the total absence of color, I don't know when you would see it.
Yeah.
Like if you were locked in a bank vault, maybe.
Even
in the middle of a power outage.
Even then, it doesn't have the same sort of bizarre.
Because there's still light in the universe.
Yeah,
even when it's dark.
Yeah, and your eyes will adjust.
Maybe if you're in a cave in or something.
Yeah,
a cave with a boulder in front of it. I don't know.
in at midnight,
it would be hard to
at the North Pole.
Yeah,
December.
Yes, it would have to be December, right? But it would be hard to plan for zero light.
Yeah,
yeah.
So and oddly enough, Kapoor hasn't really done anything with this with the black yet. He did one watch. That was commissioned for him, from the Swiss makers MCT.
Yeah,
and a limited edition run. So I mean, it was just this special watch. That's it.
That's it.
So I don't know.
Well, scarcity, right? The less he uses it, the more it's worth.
That's right.
Huh.
So maybe if Surrey Nanosystems comes up with their version of Vanta Black, and it's not purchased by Anish Kapoor,
that'll be the color. Commons.
That'll become Pantone's color of the year. And we'll all like paint our kitchens void.
Void. I can't see. What are these, tomatoes or what? That would be funny.
Yeah.
Cooking in the dark. I don't think I could do it.
You could tell your kids, go do the dishes, and then hope they disappear for
a while. Then I wouldn't have to look at the mess, which lately at my house has been kind of an...
I like that advantage. Yeah.
I find myself coming home from work later and later and later, so I have to spend less time with the mess.
Oh, well, that's a strategy.
Yeah.
Is it working?
Not really. Just, you know, can't do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but a black kitchen. and no lights. That would work. I'd probably trip over the mess, but at least I wouldn't have to look at it.
Would you ever actually go into the kitchen, though? Like, really? Like, are we attracted to that?
No, I don't think so.
It's kind of interesting how black makes us feel. You know, we're attracted to it as a clothing color and all sorts of other things, but a black room?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it makes us
feel... Yeah, why do we wear so much black if we don't use it anywhere else?
Well, probably because black goes with everything.
Yes.
And...
Are we trying to distract color away from us, or...?
Huh. That's a good question. Huh. It's not like historically it's been important. No. It's not like people in Victorian times wore black dresses all the time.
No. They probably wore a lot of ultraviolet.
Probably.
Right?
Color was wealth.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. The little black dress. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something that started with Breakfast at Tiffany's. You know?
Could be.
Yeah.
I wonder what the fashion world would say about that. Why do we wear black? Well, that'll have to be a topic for another day.
We'll have a whole show about black.
Yes.
Oh, no, we can't do that because I would want to talk about Vantablack.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll come back another time and talk about fashion and black.
Yeah.
Black shoes, black dresses.
I am like a fashion Luddite. Would that be a word? A fashion? I don't understand. I think it's because I'm philosophically opposed to fast fashion. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that there's a whole power company that burns clothing for power based on clothing being produced by that one company who can't use up all the clothing because nobody wants it.
That's why we need to have a show about fashion.
Okay.
I bet you the fashion people don't like that much. The true fashion people don't like that much either.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Drama.
And now for something completely different. Well, it does kind of have to relate to color.
Yeah, because it's photography.
Yes.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, sports fans, there's going to be a museum of selfies.
So why would sports fans be interested in that?
I think, you know, like sports fans, campers, you know, all of us gang together.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? A museum of selfies. Would you go to a selfie museum?
Well, I might now because it's becoming a phenomenon that is, I mean, we've kind of gone around the world on this one, right? Like at first it was like, oh, come on, everybody. Like, why do you need to take a selfie in front of the Mona Lisa? Because are you proving that you're there? Who are you proving it to?
Yeah, it's a moment. It's witnessing.
So then, but when you delve deeper into the whole selfie thing, it's not brand new.
Oh, heavens no. And that's kind of the point of this is an actual museum of selfies that's coming to LA. And the question is, are selfies art? And the founder of this museum thinks so. So what they did was they took some famous portraits and they carefully inserted smartphones as if the Mona Lisa and Vincent van Gogh were taking a selfie.
That's funny.
Right? But it does raise the question...
Yeah. Is it an art form? Because
Those the original selfies?
Oh, I see. Well, if they're a self-portrait, then yes. If they were using a mirror to paint their self-portrait, then yeah, I think it was a selfie.
Self-portraits were selfies.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's just slower because they didn't have cameras.
Way slower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were. It's like, here I am at this age, at this time, in this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-portraits are selfies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what selfie is. Short for, isn't it? Self-picture.
Yeah.
I think we've been taking selfies for a long time, and I feel like...
But we didn't have the ability.
We didn't have the equipment.
Yeah, we didn't have the ability until a smartphone, really, until you could flip the camera and so you could see what you're doing. Because I remember we talked about this once before, that you and I think we invented the selfie. Because my friend Penny and I took selfies from the time we were teenagers.
Yes.
And we just turned the camera around.
But I
didn't know if you got yourselves or not until you got your pictures back a couple weeks later. It was a total gamble,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this idea of turning the camera around.
Yeah.
Right?
And so the ability to see.
People have been doing that for.
And line it up.
Yes.
Properly to create a good composition.
Mm-hmm. It just means we're better at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't
to
mean
capture what you want to get in the frame. And then the selfie stick.
Yeah.
So that you get some distance so that you don't have the big wide cheek and jaw on one side.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of Europe selfies like that, I can tell you. Because I'm the one holding the camera.
You hold the camera.
Husband and kids are in the picture. They look fantastic. And I look like a giant beach ball in the foreground.
You know, I don't really take selfies.
No?
No. Well, my friends, if we're somewhere and they'll say, come on, let's take a selfie. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. But I would venture to guess I have never actually taken a picture of myself and put it online.
Okay, well, I don't think I've ever taken a picture of just myself. But
see, that's a weird thing.
It kind of feels weird. It feels very, you know,
and yet some Icarus. People do it all the time. So
narcissistic, I
well,
mean.
Is it? Or it's kinda, are you just trying to communicate? No, what are you saying?
No, like, it is. It's totally narcissistic.
Like, hello.
It's like, I'm important to this picture.
And my younger
picture.
Friends do it. It is a form of self-expression.
Okay, I'm just thinking that you think you're the most important subject, though.
Yeah, well, Paris Hilton thinks she invented the selfie. So, yeah, so there you
I've
go.
I've got an argument.
So move over,
that.
Paris Hilton. His name was Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Right?
Paris Hilton.
Move over. And I also get irritated when politicians who oppose other politicians say things like, he's a selfie prime minister. Trudeau has never taken a selfie of himself.
Right.
These are other people taking pictures.
They want to take pictures with him.
Other people asking him to be in their selfie. That does not make it a selfie for the prime minister.
Right.
Or whoever else. Yeah. Right.
And it's because they're like, if you have a friend
it's
with
like
you,
if you're
you can say,
use that?
Hey friend, can you take our picture?
Yes.
That, you know, it takes an extra few seconds, but it's easier to just go click and turn around.
And to me, if you're going to criticize the act of taking a selfie, you should at least know what it means.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about people who take pictures of themselves, by themselves, and post it online.
Mm-hmm. So it's like,
look
I think the problem is, the problem exists is when people have dewed themselves up and got their selfie stick and they get themselves all organized and can compose it so beautifully and then go, click, oh, I'm just rolling out of bed after a hard night. Mm-hmm.
I was
That's
somewhere
a problem.
This week and someone was taking a
That's
selfie.
That's the artificial world problem.
Something.
FOMO.
This FOMO?
Yeah, fear of missing out. Like
fear
you think,
of missing out.
You think that you're not, there's something missing in your life if you're not looking like that or being there or doing that with those people.
Well, I was somewhere and a young woman was taking a selfie of herself in the mirror. And just as I came in, it went off and I went, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to be in that. Like, I'm sorry to, and she said, I don't want you in my selfie. And I'm like, well, and then we're good.
Whoa.
Right? Because it was just
that
like,
seems weird.
Like, I don't have a problem with it, but I don't want to be in your selfie and you don't want me in your selfie. So let's just make sure. Yeah.
And I don't understand why people take selfies in the bathroom anyway, in the mirror.
Or people who take pictures of themselves in their bathing suits or like, what is that about?
I don't know. Like, but why take it in a mirror? That's the whole point. Like, you could take it with a camera in the mirror.
I don't know.
But the whole point of the smartphone is that you don't have to use a mirror.
Yes. So what I'm going to say, if you're going to use it, like at least know how it works.
Yeah. Do you know what's hilarious is when I've seen a couple of young women doing this and they'll be sitting there by themselves, you know, waiting for a coffee or something. And then their phone comes out and then I see them on the screen. I can see plainly and they're making a smile and doing something kind of cute. And then, you know, maybe a finger next to their lip, like, oh, and then click. And then they just like click, 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 and post it to Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, you just had this weird intimate moment with yourself here in the coffee shop. And we all witnessed it.
Yeah.
And it was totally fake and made up. I think that's really weird.
Well, it's Insta. It's really is Insta. Like, this is my moment right now.
I know, but it's artificial. And then there's filters and then there's
fish lips. It's I don't understand it. There's some psychological need obviously being filled. I'd be curious to understand it better before I got all judgy. And people love to judge the selfies, but we don't actually know what's happening there, right?
Oh, I agree.
And so hopefully this museum will enlighten us.
Well, maybe it will.
Because it's not just a museum of selfies. It's a museum about selfies.
Right.
So, acknowledging the love-hate relationship we have with the increasingly ubiquitous selfie.
Yeah. So, you don't have a single selfie, like,
I don't think
of
so.
All of your travels and just with other people, just only if somebody else took it.
Oh, no, one time I took a picture of myself at the ski hill, and because you could see the ski hill in my goggles, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Actually,
one time.
What? Louise has done one selfie.
And I had a helmet and goggles on.
So it's technically not a selfie.
No. Well, no, it was technically a selfie.
No,
I just said it was cool, like the reflection of the
maybe that's more of an art photo because of the reflection.
An objet d'or.
You're more of an Anish Kapoor than you think you are. It's all about reflection and the void. Anyway, it's not, I mean, I have to admit, although I don't take selfies of just myself, I've taken a lot of selfies of my family.
Family. Selfie then. It's a picture of your family.
Then it's a fammy.
A fammy.
Or a groupie.
A groupie.
I guess it's a groupie. And I love doing that. And my kids hate it. They're like, mom. But I'm like, no, I want to, and then wait, I want to get the Eiffel Tower in there. And, you know, like, I thought it was important to have those moments in, you know, here we are, all four of us.
Photos. That's not a selfie.
But I'm in it. And like, whereas before the selfie, before the iPhone, I was never in the family photos.
But the key word of selfie is self.
But still. It's,
okay, let's call it a buy your selfie.
Oh, okay. That's better. Yeah. I love that you invent words on this show. It's great. A buy your selfie.
Yes. I would like to post a buy my selfie. Put that on Instagram. See what happens. It'll be a revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
All right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things you can do in the art area here in the shoe swap.
It continues.
And take pictures of and post it on Instagram by yourself or not.
Or with a group.
Yes.
Especially at DeMille's Farm Market.
That's right. Plenty you
that
can
was a
do.
Nice segue. There I like you go. It.
And there's lots of color there, right? There's the greens and the reds and the oranges. And
and the browns of the barns.
Yes.
And the, and the critters.
Why are barns red? Maybe Brad could tell us that. I'm sure there's a reason.
There probably is a very good reason. No,
but he would be the fellow to know.
But it's not necessarily a good thing to paint things like that anymore, right? Because birds nest in barnwood. Right? Like, don't paint stuff. Just let things be natural.
Well, for sure.
There's beautiful colors.
But it has been a question of mine. Why aren't they blue?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. They could match, or why aren't they green, right? Yeah, they could just match the landscape, but no, they're red.
Yeah, but it's definitely color season.
Hey, I wonder if cows could see red better and they came home at night.
You know what? We might never know. Unless you come back as a cow.
That's true. We don't really know for sure. People say that, cats see this color, dogs see that color. You're just throwing light through their eyeballs after they've died. Mm-hmm. So how do we know for sure?
We don't know.
You'd have to be them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's
springtime.
Time to plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time to plan your garden. Mm-hmm. Time to get some seeds, mm-hmm. bedding plants, mm-hmm. and just think about all the beautiful things you can grow in your own backyard.
Absolutely. Sage.
Yeah. Like sage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put sage on
my next pizza.
And then
you can tell your neighbors you're on color trend this year because you planted sage. I actually can grow sage, which if I can grow it, anybody can grow it.
Well, isn't it a perennial? Like, doesn't it just keep coming back?
I don't know.
It's like
I guess I'll find out.
You have to plant it yet in order to find out.
Well, I had it last year. Does it mean it's going to come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as long as you protected it over the winter a little, threw a burlap sack over it or something, especially if it was young.
Probably not. I'll let you know how it works out.
You also need more sunlight in your yard.
Yes,
somehow,
I do.
So you have to think about that. Because
I need a lot in my yard.
Yeah. Plants
need a messy
some sun.
Yeah. And it's going to get messier because we have to fix some stuff. So anyway, not about me. But so thank you to our sponsors who are your local source for all things colorful and gardening and other adventures. Mm-hmm. So,
and to find out all the things that are happening in the art sector, I would encourage you to check out the participate page on salmonarmartcenter.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Everything there is listed by date. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, you just go on there and mm-hmm. see what's going on tonight in the art world. And of course, shoeswapevent.com has all events on there.
All events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports events, arts events, trail events, mm-hmm. like just pretty much everything you can ever imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty going on.
Well, there is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a colorful community in that regard. We have so many diverse groups, nonprofit groups that put on incredible events. We have to actually get out of our PJs and go.
Yes.
That's a thing.
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one of the other things that happens in the north in the wintertime is
we cocoon, right? So now it's time to get out of your cocoon.
But we've made it almost habitual to lay around and from 8 o'clock on and just watch Netflix. Well, it's time to break that habit.
Yes.
It's light out.
It's lighter later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get up and get out there. Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing yard work, it's free residential yard waste, disposal forever.
Really?
Yes, because they were finding that it's, for one thing, it's good to have it, to compost it, to make methane, to put it back in the grid, or however they do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it minimizes people dumping it in places it shouldn't be dumped. So
right.
If you have leftover leaves from before the snow came, you can drop them off at the CSRD dump for free.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you for that.
I'll be doing some of that.
Yes. So everybody, happy weekend.
Yes.
Working in your yard. And we'll see you next week.
Bye now.